Girl! You hear that? That's theme music, dude. That's fucking theme music. And I love our theme song. And it makes me want to go to battle when I hear that, dude. And that right there, that's a single batch theme song. And that's got a hip-hop beat under it. And that makes me want to go to rap battle, dude. But welcome. Welcome, guys. Welcome to Single Batch. This is it, dude. This is it. This is my fucking... This is mine, dude. I'm Dave Caggiano, and this is my shit right here. Single Batch. Episodes with me. Just me. On my solo dolo, dude, you know? On my single mommy shit. I'm the fucking seltzer sipping single mommy right now. It's just me and you, dude. It's just me and you. So what is this gonna be? Well, I don't really know. I gotta be honest with you guys. I'm honestly, first episode straight out the gate. I think I'm concussed. I really do. And I think I'm concussed. I skied yesterday and I went to hit just a little 180 off throw a nice little 180 off a little roller, and I didn't really commit, and I fucking landed sideways, and I fucked my head up, dude, I'll be honest with you. And that's the thing about concussions. It's like, am I concussed? I don't really know, because I can't think straight, you know? I think I'm concussed, but then again, I can't really think. So that's the note we're starting out on, dude. Single batch. So this is single batch, all right? So what's it going to be? What's it going to consist of? Well, you subscribe to Brusaders Podcast, and all these episodes, it's going to be weekly episodes of single batch on the Brusaders feed. You don't have to go anywhere else, dude, so that's good. And the theme of these episodes, man, the theme of this podcast, it's kind of like comedy and tragedy. And that's kind of the theme, okay? I'm 24 years old. I graduated college, and I wanted to go to the PT school, be a physical therapist. So I started working at an ambulance company, right? And I started working on an ambulance to get patient contact hours for PT school. And, dude, I get to see some fucking awesome things. I got to see some really fucking crazy things, and every day at work was different. And I met some of the funniest goddamn people I've ever met in my life. And just absolute characters. And so that's kind of been the theme of my life the past couple of years since I got out of college. Just this comedy versus tragedy type of thing. And so that's what I want to bring to this podcast, okay? Some episodes, you know, I might be a little loosey-goosey. I might be the giggling guinea. You feel me? Other episodes might be, I might have a serious matter to discuss. Some of you, I know a lot of you tuned in because you know that for at least the first couple episodes, I'm going to be talking about a subject that's really been the hot button issue, in the news right now. It's one of those things that everyone's talking about, and that's the opioid epidemic. Okay. And, I'm going to be talking about that the first couple episodes, maybe the first few episodes, but I might not always be talking about serious shit like that, you know. I'm gonna be talking about a lot, you know. For example, today some girl sent me a Snapchat, and it said going to the Sammy Adams concert, so I can't talk to her anymore, and some episodes might just be about that. They might just be loosey-goosey, dude. It might be about how I can't talk to a girl because she's going to a Sammy Adams concert. And that's honestly, you could make an argument that's as serious as the opioid epidemic. The Sammy Adams epidemic, really. So that's where we're at, dude. So now you know a little bit about me. You know a little bit about what I do. I'm also, I do stand-up comedy. I'm a stand-up comedian. And so, yeah, just tragedy and comedy have been very prevalent in my life, both ends of the spectrum, like really no middle ground for the past couple of years. That's been my life, dude. So I'm going to bring that to this this podcast. So shall we? Shall we get into it? Let's talk about it, dude. Let's talk about the opioid epidemic. I'm going to tell you guys about the first overdose I ever went to, and then we'll get into some things, okay? Now I want to start off by saying I've been working on the ambulance 2.5 years, almost 3 years now, okay? We'll say 3 years. And I work in on the North Shore of Boston, and definite hotbed of opioid use in the Northeast. And I've seen a lot of crime. I work in, a lot of you guys know what city I work in. I've mentioned it before. But I work in Lynn, and I work in the Lynn 911 system, mostly. That's where I do most of my hours on the ambulance. So I'm not claiming to be the most experienced person in the world. There's 20-year medics out there that can tell you some crazy stories and really have good insight to some of the stuff that's going on. And actually, I hope to have to interview some of them at some point. I've been talking to an ER doc down at, she's in a residency at Harvard, so hopefully she can come on and she can give us her perspective from the hospital's point of view. But so my first overdose I ever went to. So I was 22 years old, just graduated college, and I started working in Lynn. And I think my first overdose probably came within the first few weeks. It was probably week 2 or 3 of being on the job. I started during the summer, and that's the time when the overdoses tend to pick up. So we responded from our base. The call came over the air for most overdoses in my 911 system, at least, they come in as an unconscious or a man down. So it would be like ambulance 14 respond to so-and-so address for the unconscious or the man down. And they don't usually come in as an overdose. But you kind of, after a while, you can kind of just tell what's going to be an overdose and what's not, depending on the address and depending on, you know, what it comes in as. So we responded over to a sub shop on the corner of Boston and Franklin Street for the overdose. We walk in, and as I'm walking in, my partner's ahead of me, Bill. We bring in our bags, and the fire department beat us there. And so we're entering the sub shop, and it looks just like a regular sub shop. There's some greasy Albanian dudes behind the counter. There's a couple Spanish dudes sitting in some chairs, construction workers eating lunch, and there's about a 4 or 5 year old boy sitting with his dad at a table eating a slice of pizza, right? Sub shop. So we walk in, and everyone's pointing us to the back, and I can see that's where the firefighters are. So me and my partner head back towards the bathroom, and there's a bathroom in the back. And I can't really get a good look at who's back there or what's going on. There's about 4 firefighters crowded around a girl who's on the floor, okay? And I can kind of just see her legs. And they have the oxygen bottle on, and they're kind of waking her up. And she's alive, and I can tell she's alive. You know, no one panics anyways, really. I mean, for the most part, everyone's so used to this stuff. Like, so they wake her up, and they administer Narcan, and they BVM her. And I'll get into what that means. And they wake her up, and they start to walk her out. And as we're walking her out, I'm walking a couple steps ahead of her, but I'm kind of just turned to keep my eye on her. And she looks like about maybe like a late 30s. She's probably in her like early to mid 30s, but she looks like she's in her like 40s or 50s. Just this white lady who's, you know, kind of scraggly looking. And as we're walking out of the sub shop, she stops where the kid is and the guy are, and she picks up. The kid is in his dad's arms at this point, and she stops at the kid, and she puts her hands over his head, and she kisses him on the top of his head. And that was that was her son. That was her son, and I don't know if it was her husband or her boyfriend or what, but they were waiting out there while she did heroin in the bathroom. So then we put her in the ambulance and we took her to the hospital, and that was that. That was my first overdose, my very first exposure to, I guess, the opioid epidemic. So, where do we go from there? Well, let's think about, let me tell you guys what, we'll recap. So when we get called to an overdose, here's what we look for. We'll go into that. We look for three things typically in an overdose. It's how we treat an overdose in the field. Okay. So you start with the identifying factors. You start with three things. Typically, it's altered level of consciousness. So the person is either unconscious or barely conscious. You'll note they have respiratory depression. So basically, an average adult, their respiratory rate should be about, they should breathe in about 12 to 20 times a minute. You know, someone who's overdosed on heroin or an opiate will have a depressed respiratory rate, typically like, you know, either they're not breathing or they're breathing like 4 to 6 times a minute. And then they'll have pinpoint pupils. And, there's other factors that go into it. Maybe they're a known user. You see them, or, you know, during your scene size up, you notice that there's needles or there's heroin present, or they're in a building that's known for overdoses. You know, these are all things that go into it. You know, does it fit the picture of an overdose? And then, from there, really, dude, here's the thing. We'll talk about Narcan. So everyone knows there's heard of Narcan. It's one of the like biggest questions I get. It's like, do you have to use a lot of Narcan? Do you use a lot of Narcan? Yeah, we use a lot of Narcan, but Narcan, as much of a miracle drug as it is, isn't what saves these people. It's ventilation that saves, like, ventilation's what saves these people. So breathing for them, basically. And so the biggest, like, I think the most important tool on an ambulance, arguably, and especially in an overdose, is Narcan. It's a BVM, which is a bag valve mask, which some of you guys, if you watch, you know, like the medical shows, you'll see it's like that mask that goes over the person's face, and then it has like, almost looks like a plastic bulb coming off of it that you squeeze, and it gives breath to them. So what you're doing is you just basically use that to breathe for them. And back in the days when they had opiate overdoses and they didn't have Narcan, they would literally, you could use basic life support to just keep this person alive and get them to the hospital. All you'd have to do is that BVM and just bag them the whole way to the hospital and just breathe for them. Because all that opiate is doing is just, it's affecting your central nervous system and creating respiratory depression. And so when you're breathing, you're just replacing their respiratory drive. So let's get into that, dude. Let's get into these two things. So first, we'll talk about fentanyl, because that's something that I think a lot of people want to know what it is and everything. I heard the heroin today has fentanyl in it, or carfentanyl, and no one really knows. Everyone says it wrong. Fentanyl. I don't even know how people say it. Fentanyl and fentanyl and stuff. Everyone says it wrong. So, all right. Let's go on to what fentanyl is. These are some descriptions of the drugs that's provided to me by Dr. Vince Story. He is a resident surgeon in the Boston area. So, fentanyl is an opiate, and so is heroin. It's the same. The difference is fentanyl's a synthetic opiate, and it's typically stronger than heroin. It's more pure. But a lot of people are using fentanyl alongside the heroin just to make it stronger. So this is what fentanyl is, and then we'll go into what Narcan is and how they interact. So fentanyl is a fully synthetic opioid that binds and stimulates the mu subtype of opioid receptors in the brain. So it binds to and stimulates opiate receptors in the brain. Once bound to the receptors, fentanyl inhibits the release of neurotransmitters and reduces the postsynaptic neuronal response to incoming excitatory signals. So it inhibits excitatory signals in the brain. ultimately depressing the activity of neurons involved in pain perception and transmission. Fentanyl exerts its effects in the brain, brainstem, and spinal cord, and peripheral terminals. Exerts its effects on the brainstem and the spinal cord is actually very, very important, and that's where you'll have that respiratory depression. That's where that comes from. The central brain actually mediates the sedative and respiratory effects of fentanyl. Activity in the spinal cord inhibits ascending pain fibers. The action of fentanyl at these serially located sites is thought to have a synergistic effect to inhibit information flow from the periphery to the brain. So you have no communication from peripheral neurons located, on the outside of your body, their hands, your feet, all those sensory neurons. It limits the communication of those neurons to the brain, and that's where you get, that reduced pain. That's why you get that. So fentanyl is actually, like I said, it's a synthetic opioid. It's used in hospital and pre-hospital settings. Which would be like an ambulance. We use it. We use it for pain management. We use it to sedate our patients if we have to, perform rapid sequid intubation or, some other, maneuver. You need them to be sedated. But the contraindications of when you wouldn't want to use fentanyl is someone that is already centrally nervous depressed, has their central nervous system depressed. Or they have respiratory problems. And that's because it depresses the central nervous system and then it depresses your respiratory drive. So that's fentanyl. That's opioids in general, really. They all do the same thing. It's just to, what degree. So, motherfucker, let's look up Narcan. My drug cards. Okay. Narcan is actually goes by naloxone. Narcan is the generic name. So this is a opioid antagonist. Naloxone is a pure competitive narcotic antagonist that binds with extremely high affinity to opioid receptors. So basically, Narcan binds with a higher affinity to opioid receptors, meaning it binds stronger than the opioid itself. Once bound, naloxone blocks opioid drugs from binding and displaces opioids that are already bound to the receptor. Unlike other narcotic antagonists, which do not completely inhibit the properties of opiates, naloxone antagonizes all actions of opiates. It is pure antagonist and has no stimulatory effects on the receptor. Hence, it can induce a rapid withdrawal syndrome in an opioid-dependent patient. So, you get that, dude? Anyone who's done heroin and has been woken up in an overdose, you understand now why you feel like shit? It basically, essentially, puts you into instant withdrawals. And good pre-hospital providers know when to push Narcan and when not to, and they know when not to stack Narcan, meaning give a shit ton of it, and that's that's a big thing with pre-hospital is people giving too much Narcan, because right there, it says, it's not gonna, it's strictly an antagonist, it's not gonna stimulate anything, so basically you could give a shit ton of it and you'd be fine. But the thing is, a good EMT, a good paramedic, gives it, it's like slowly, you wait for it to take its effects, and you don't push a shit ton at once. Basically, your whole goal in the pre-hospital setting is to just keep the person breathing. You don't necessarily need to wake them up completely to the point where they're now undergoing withdrawals and they're going to start fighting you or throwing up. You feel me? That's Narcan. That's Narcan. When I started, we still use the intranasal sprays, so it's just literally a nasal spray. Super easy to use, but when I started, the dosage, they came in 2 milligram vials, and now we've switched over to 4 milligram vials. The dose is literally doubled because of the strength that the strength of the fentanyl, basically, is what's causing this. The heroin's so strong now because it's cut with fentanyl or carfentanyl. So yeah. So that was my first overdose, dude. Fucking lady was using heroin in a bathroom right in front of her kid. Insane. Fucking insane. So we get the lady in the truck and we bring her to the hospital. And at the time, my assessment probably wasn't that good. But now I've done so many overdoses. I basically ask them the same question every time. As part, not even as part of my assessment, just part of my curiosity. I always ask people when, you know, after they overdose and I'm in the ambulance with them and the chaos has settled down. You know, there's not five firefighters and two paramedics and two EMTs standing over them. After we get them in the back of the truck, it's just me in the back with them. And I usually ask them if they've ever overdosed before. I usually ask them how many times they've overdosed before. Because I swear to God, like 90% of our patients, it's not the first time they've gotten Narcan administered to them before. And that's the sad part. I read a stat somewhere once that said that drug rehab programs have a 98% attrition rate. Basically, 98% of people that go to rehab for drugs will fail and relapse at some point in their life, which is fucking insane when you think about it. The cost, just the economic cost and the burden on the healthcare system that you can see with that stat. It's fucking insane. So there's a whole number of issues that we could talk about, and I want to go further into this subject in later episodes, but I just wanted to give you guys a good base of what the opioid epidemic is, kind of what it involves, what the key players are. You know, it involves a lot of people that have overdosed before, that use a lot of drugs. It's not their first time. It's never their first time. You guys got a good little introduction to what fentanyl is. You guys got a good little introduction to what Narcan it really is, and how it really works. Yeah, it's sad, because I know there's people listening to this that have family members that overdosed, and I don't want to be truthful about it, so I think we're going to get to that probably in the next episode. We'll go deeper into it. I'll tell you about the youngest overdose I did. I'll tell you about the youngest death I've been to. I was 22, and I did a 22-year-old girl that overdosed and died on heroin. I just got out of college. She was the exact same age as me, dude. And then I'll tell you about the oldest overdose I did. Fucking crazy, dude. But so that's for next episode. I want you guys to also call in. I wish I had the fucking number right here. You guys, if you call in and fucking ask me some questions about this subject, I'll be happy to answer them. Here we go. So the Brucaders hotline is 857-293-1442. 857-293-1442. Call in, ask your questions. I'm happy to talk about anything. If you have a family member or whatever that's, you know, going through this, or you're going through this, I'd love to talk to you. It's interesting stuff either way. So call in and address the question to a single batch, and or address it to me. Ask me in particular, Dave Caggiano. You can just say, "You sexy fuck, what's your thoughts on opiates?" And I'll just tell you. but we're going to get further into it next episode. In the meantime, that was the first episode of Single Batch, dude. Hope you guys enjoyed it.